Okay, so good afternoon, good evening at this point. I'm Soledad Martinez, and I'm going to present you this work that I did last year, Health Reform in Chile 2000-2005, Path Dependence, Critical Junctures, and Feedback Mechanisms. I have no relationship to disclose about personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation. So here's an outline of what I'm going to present to you today. First, some key issues, then the Chilean healthcare system at a glance, the actual reform that passed, the research question, the methods, conceptual framework, some results, discussion, and implications. So what motivated me to do this work was I was wondering how past system design influenced the options on the table for the Chilean healthcare reform, how the system that we have, it's really it can really be crucial in determining what options do we have for healthcare reform, and how the current healthcare system design can rule out future health system designs that will provide more equitable access to quality care. And so what I found was that yes, the health system design. The current health system design in Chile did influence what passed as a law in the health reform, and as we could think about it. So the Chilean healthcare system at a glance, well, the Ministry of Health and the Superintendent of Health regulate the entire Chilean health system. We have a Ministry of Health, kind of different from here. It's much more centralized. The financing of the system is a compulsory payment of 7% of all worker salaries and some general revenues. We have one public insurer, something like the public plan that you were discussing in the U.S. healthcare reform, which is called FONASA, the National Health Fund, and we have around 20 private health insurance that are called ISAPRES, Institutions of Social Security and Health. And 74% of the population are enrolled in FONASA, 17% in ISAPRES, and the remaining 9% are either uninsured or insured by the armed forces. And in terms of the service provision, we have a large public healthcare network of providers and facilities, and a very healthy private sector too, with facilities ranging from individual doctors' practices to large HMOs. So after 17 years of dictatorship, of military dictatorship, the Concertación, which was a center-left coalition, political coalition, rose to power in the 1990s. Okay? And we had to wait 11 years for health reform to materialize. Ricardo Lagos, which is this guy here, who is a socialist, was elected on a platform that mentioned health reform as one of his government's main initiatives. And the 2005 reform was enacted through five pieces of legislation. My work focused on two of those pieces, the most controversial and influential ones. The first and most important one was the General Guarantees in Health Law, which created a system of explicit guarantees of care in defined health conditions, 56 first, and now we're up to 74, something like that. With respect to access, timely care, quality of services, and patient financial protection. So you were guaranteed access to care if you had one of these 56 conditions. Then the second law was the financing law, okay? And that allocated funds for the reform, in particular for the guarantee system. So they both were tied together. And originally, it created a solidarity fund or compensation fund, which what happened was it mandated ISAPRES, the private insurers, to participate in a risk pool with FONASA, okay, to finance this guarantee system. But for all other purposes, the pools will still be will be separated, okay? So just for the general guarantees program. Then we had these other three laws I'm going to talk about. So the GGH plan passed. The solidarity fund, can you guess what happened? Did not pass. Okay, and so I was trying to think, well, why one thing passed and the other didn't. And I became very interested of this literature of path dependence, which is defined as a social process in which once a country or region has started down a track, the cost of reversals are high. And these costs of reversal are generated by policy feedback, okay, that are given primarily by increasing returns or by the high cost of shifting to adopt alternative approaches. And in that, if you want to understand policy feedback, it's just a self-reinforcing mechanism, okay? So for example, Theda Scotchpole gives an example of Civil War pensions and how some the veterans thought that this was an important policy for them, and so they had the incentive to mobilize and to organize, okay, and to have so it create the policy creating an interest group. Okay, which was the veterans. So that would be an example of a policy feedback. Okay, so what kind of policy feedbacks there are? The first one is the one related to resources and incentive effects, and I'm just going to show you the ones I found. I found the financing effect, mainly the private health insurers. They had a financial interest in the solidarity fund not passing. And then there are interpretive effects, which is really when a policy creates a cue or a focusing cue. And the policy creates a way of understanding things. Okay, it highlights some connections and it obscures some other connections. And there's two types of interpretive effects. One is policy learning. So generally, governmental elites or interest groups learn that this policy is successful, or framing this policy in this way is successful. And there are visibility effects. And in that way, some policies, as I was saying, make visible some things and obscure others. And that it's an effect mostly on interest groups and mass publics. And the other key concept is the critical juncture. And the critical junctures are defined as moments that shape the basic contours of life. So it's a moment where you choose paths. You go either this way or that way. And when you choose that, then you unleash mechanisms, these feedback mechanisms, that make very difficult to go the other way, the way you rejected before. Okay? What was my research question? How have past policies and events in Chile shaped the debate, form, and eventual passage of the two most controversial and influential pieces of health legislation in the past decades, the ones that I told you about? The methods were a literature review in academic journals and also a search in the Nexus database for news articles in Spanish and English and TV and radio broadcast transcripts. And there's the details of that search. I got 150 articles. And what results did I get? Well, the first effect I found was a visibility effect in the general guarantees in health law that's related to prioritization. So the government, the cue that the government gave the mass public and the interest groups was, the government is going to implement this plan that it's evidence-based, technical, and scientific. Okay, it's an exercise of prioritization, and the interest groups and the mass powers understood this concept because they've been explained this concept before since the 1950s, and I'm going to show you what critical juncture made that possible. And efforts to frame this plan as rationing instead of prioritization failed, which is very interesting for me, seeing here the health reform and how, you know, death panels and all that kind of stuff started to erupt here. You could have just said, well, no, it's not rationing, it's just prioritization. But arguments of rationing were very successful, I think, here. Not that successful in Chile, though they tried to make those arguments. There were also some policy learning effects, and so the governmental elites learn because the Chilean health system historical success is attributed to prioritization of child and maternal health in the 1950s. Okay, and these priorities were translated in health programs. So for this reform, governmental elites did much of what they've been doing the whole time, which is health programs, but now they're guaranteeing the health programs, okay? But it's just the same. And they use the health programs rationale as a model. So there's also a policy learning effect. The critical juncture I identify is, as you can guess by now, is the prioritization of child and maternal health services since the creation of the National Health Service in 1952. And this meant that some of the services provided since 1952 was immunization, distribution of powdered milk, and birth control. This is rationing, okay? This is prioritization, but it is rationing of resources. But it was framed in a way, and it was so successful that people in Chile kind of understand and like this concept. For the financing law, I found a visibility effect. And the cue here is that there's a general conception that individual contributions to health insurance are private payments towards health insurance rather than public funds. So this is not a social security payment, but rather I'm paying a premium, okay? And so it's mine to give, although I'm mandated to do it. So it could be seen as a public fund because it's mandatory, but people see it as a premium. And opponents of the bill argue that the Solidarity Fund amounts to a new tax, whose burden will fall mainly on the middle class, which was not true. The middle class was not the one, the 17% is really not middle class, the ones that are insured in Insapres. But it really resonated with people. And a threat to take the matter to the Constitutional Court forced Lagos to eliminate the compensation fund altogether from the financing bill. And the argument that people used was that this was an unconstitutional expropriation of health contributions. Okay. The other effect I identified was a financing effect, basically given by the large financial commitments that the private insurers and providers had before the bill. And these commitments made any attempt to reunite the risky public pool with the healthy private pool very difficult. Okay, once you go that way, it's really difficult to go back. The critical juncture, I identified two critical junctures. The first one was the creation of CERMENA in 1968. So before CERMENA, we just had this national health system that was basically financed through general revenues. But in 1968, under a democratic government, this CERMENA institution was created. It was a publicly operated health insurance that allowed white-collar workers to access privately provided healthcare. So it effectively separated the blue-collar and white-collar workers' health insurance pools. Okay, and this was thought as something like, you know, increasing freedom of choice, things like that. But nobody thought that this could start a role that it was impossible to go back. And then the second critical juncture was the creation of FONASA and ISAPRES in 1981. And this was done under military government, no democratic debate about this. FONASA was the public plan, financed by general revenues and individual contributions. And ISAPRES was these private health insurance companies that were allowed to manage the mandatory 7% that I was talking about. So there was a further separation of pools of insurance pools. So in the end, and in brief, what I conclude is that the prioritization of child and maternal health in the 1950s and the consequences of this policy were crucial in facilitating the passage of the GGH law and its eventual form. The separation of insurance pools and in two different periods of the Chile's history, 68 and 81, unleashed policy feedback that prevented the creation of the Solidarity Fund. I'm sure that President Frei, which was a Christian Democrat, did not want to see this happen when he created CERMENA, But here it is. So I think it's not one to one. Probably there are other causes, of course, and there need to be a military government to further this separation of pools. But once you start that way, it's really difficult to go back. And so policymakers embarking in reformist efforts should first have available an historical institutionalist analysis of their proposals in order to identify feedbacks from previous policies and events, but also be aware that of the fact that the policy they would be implementing could constitute a critical juncture that unleashes mechanisms of policy feedback hard to modify in the future. So, thanks.